markobbs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ.
Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
Sixteen here on a Friday on the west coast of the United States. Mike McNamara with you. And no stranger to disaster is the All Marine Radio head chef that lived through a flood that destroyed, a flood and a fire that destroyed downtown Grand Forks, North Dakota in 1997. And he joins us now. So, Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Marines everywhere. I'm doing great.
You know what? We need to, this week we're going to experiment with Skype a little bit. And so, we're going to, because Skype's much better audio quality. It'll sound like you're in the studio. And so we're going to, we're going to mess with that. I know how much you love technology, so it ought to be a walk in the park.
Well, as long as you're driving the bus, I'm all on board.
I was joking about how much he loves technology. This will be like pulling teeth. No, not that button. Oh, you mean this one? Yes!
No!
let me get your thoughts. I was talking a little bit ago about the federal plan that's now begun to be executed that is surrounding and closing in behind Florence, Hurricane Florence. You and I discussed this during the whole Katrina thing. Pretty frustrating to watch. Right. And again, historically, disaster relief was the purview of the state. The state had to request certain things. And I think Katrina changed all that because the state simply wasn't up to it. And then the nation and the world watched as the people of New Orleans waited and waited and waited. And that's not necessary because we have more than enough assets around the country on the active duty side that can help. And so it's
you pointed out, Mac, how many active duty soldiers were in the area and that weren't used. Yeah. And that drove you nuts.
Yeah, if you recall, you'd see those interviews from the people down at the Superdome, and it would just like, look, somebody's sitting in an operations center and they're watching the same video. How can we not get helicopters with MREs and water, externally sling that stuff on pallets and go and drop it in there? How is that not happening? And you're watching it going, what in God's name is going on? So,
or if you say in Italian, mace casa.
I'm not even know.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but it went on day after day after day, and so it was just, you watched it, and you're just like, so to me, this is the way it should be done. It's the units adjacent, draw a circle around the affected area. Every base outside of that gets a message to stand by to support, and then different units, again, what do you need? You need trucks and helicopters, and you need people that can help. And so, you have infantry units, you have all kinds of truck units that have everything staged, and they encroach on the area, meaning, we might go from Fort Rucker in Alabama or Fort Benning in Georgia, and we're going to migrate to the eastern side, in this case, of our base. We'll stage there, and then it's a three-hour drive into the affected area. All right, we can do that right now. And so there are ways to do it, and it looks like the DOD is doing that, so I just want to they take a lot of grief when they don't do it right, so certainly want to point out that the plan is in place, and hopefully the execution will be up to par, and the people in those positions will do the right thing. So. And Kim, when FEMA people would come to town, they would eat at Kim's joint. So he got to know a bunch of them.
In my little man cage downstairs, I have a picture of me and James Lee Witt, who was the FEMA director under Clinton,
right,
and our congressional delegation, very cool, and I remember he was on the scene a lot, and he showed up immediately, and it was the response, and a lot of that has to do with our congressional delegation.
Well, I would say
Pat Owens and little Pat Owens, the mayor.
I would say this though. More than them was the power of television. In that, what happened during the flood was it was in the spring and it record snowfall and then it rained, right? And then they had another blizzard. And then when the snow started melting, there was a ton of it, and it melted in a hurry, and that is a recipe for disaster. The way it should melt is, it melts, and then it freezes at night. It melts, and then it freezes at night. And then that's nature's way of slowing the flow to the river, because in flatland where Kim lives, if it gets warm and it all slides into the river at once, stand by. And that's what happened. And so, but what happened during the flood is the levees break, the towns are flooded on both sides, on the Minnesota and the North Dakota side of the river. And then what happens is a fire breaks out downtown. Now, we're not going to go into the fire itself, but that is captured on television. The images are pretty compelling of a city flooding and on fire, and CNN broadcasts it, and people watch it. And so when the congressional delegation went to ask for money for help, people remembered this, and the mayor was a woman by the name of Pat Owens. Pat was in her late 60s, I believe, at the time, and she got on town, and she was this plucky woman and said, we're going to come back and we're going to roll up our sleeves. And nobody forgot the images of the city burning and this woman who was talking about rolling up her sleeves and working hard and we asked for your prayers. And that by fate, if those television cameras aren't there for whatever reason and that's not captured, I don't know that it all turns out the same way, because people said, oh, I remember that. I remember that woman. Bill Clinton went up there, right, Kim?
Yes, right away.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like a couple of weeks. I mean, you couldn't get downtown for 2 weeks. I was living in Northwood, about 25 miles from Grand Forks with my in-laws. And we couldn't get into town. It was flooded for about 2 weeks. And the Red River was running north, and it was cold. It was the end result of 8 blizzards starting in October.
Yeah, yeah.
About a couple of months until the last blizzard was, I think, April 8th or 9th, and then the flood started on the 18th.
Yeah, and that's pretty late, even by North Dakota standards. Blizzards in April, you don't see that very often. That's supposed to be thaw time. Farmers are getting their stuff ready, getting ready to get in the field and all the rest of that stuff. So, but again, when Katrina happened, you know, Kim and I were still doing this every Friday, and just how frustrating. And I expressed the lament that the active duty members envy the guard when they see them doing these missions, because you do it overseas. You know, we're talking about Marines and sailors doing it out in the Pacific right now, and then you come home and you see those things happen, and you're like, well, why aren't we involved? I mean, we've got C-130 aircraft, we've got helicopters, we've got generators. Also, you know, we're not going to be a burden to anybody. We can send ourselves self-contained. We'd love to help. And so it's awesome to see that finally this is happening and we're doing the right thing. So it'll be good. So we'll see how the response works out. But, Kim with real world experience. And the other thing is that depending on how this hits, there's no major, metropolitan area along the coast. I think, you know, what the first one is probably Raleigh-Durham, in that, but that's well inland. And so you're not going to have the issues that you had with New Orleans, but there'll still be people that will be affected. So hopefully it goes well. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But the recovery time is not short when you're affected. It's about 10 years. And they tell you that, and you're like, 10 years?
It's about right. Pretty much set your calendar on that.
Yeah.
8 to 10 years, and that's just what it took for us to get the flood wall built and everything, because we had 90% of Grand Forks wiped out. Flooded.
Flooded. Flooded, not wiped out. It was flooded. The story is in that part of the country, you have sump pumps. The fire starts, and they cut the electricity to the city because they don't want the fires to spread. When you cut the electricity, you cut the power to the sump pumps, and now water's coming through everybody's sewer. And the city begins to flood. And I will tell you what, there's really sad stories about, you know, elderly people being displaced. in the twilight of their life and not having the money to rebuild their homes and things like that. There's incredible animosity over decisions that get made about turning off electricity, about who got electricity restored first and why that happened. And honestly, I used to joke and say there's no hate like flood hate. Because people, and there's not. I mean, those are very, very sensitive issues. I mean, even when it came to commemorating the event, there was a huge, huge discussion, and some people incredibly emotional about why would you call this an anniversary? Why would you even want to recall it? Why would we do anything? And a very good friend of Kim and I's was adamant. I mean, he left town. And so, not easy things to digest. All right. Anything exciting? Have you gone to see any interesting movies lately?
Yes, we went to see Jennifer Garner's movie Peppermint, where her husband and daughter gets gunned down at a fair, and she gets revenge on the drug lord that did it, and I remember I used to count how many people got shot in gun smoke back when I was a kid.
You did,
and she smoked a lot of people at the movie.
Jennifer.
She got even.
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner. I didn't realize she was so butch.
Yeah, she's
unbelievably butch. Are you kidding me? She's in good shape too.
Good for Jennifer Garner. I still haven't seen the movie about the Mossad and Adolf Eichmann. I've got to get to that.
I want to see that too.
Yeah. Let me ask you get your opinion. These television news organizations that put their anchors out there to do these live shots with the wind blowing by, do you think they're going to be satisfied until somebody gets killed?
No, I think it's so stupid. And somebody, God, last night I was spinning through the dial and this guy, you know, his clothes are going sideways, being blown sideways, and he must have ankle weights on, because any normal human being would have been blown away. And he's standing there in the rain, and you can't understand what he's saying, because the rain's coming down so hard. And I'm thinking, why do you do this?
Ratings, Kimmy, come on, we know the answer to that.
Well, ratings, of course we know the answer, but I mean, it's just stupid, that's all.
Yeah, and you can hear the phone call between, that truck and the producer before. All right, check out the shot. We're getting ready to go in 2 minutes. Okay. Had the winds died down there? No, but he kind of pulled in behind two vehicles and the side. Okay, push him back out to where he was. All right, we need his clothes.
We need to see him get blown, swept into the Atlantic.
Yeah, we need the clothes blowing, we need the hair blowing, we need all of that in the shot. Okay, all right.
That's funny, yeah.
No, but you can hear those idiots.
Somebody could die, goddammit.
Yeah, and who was it? I remember, who was it, Geraldo, that got smoked a few years ago by something? He was down there doing that stuff, and he got smoked in the head by something? That's not a theoretical event.
I hope so. I hope it was him.
Geraldo.
Still looking.
Geraldo.
Geraldo.
He's still trying to get over the Al Capone vault stuff, okay? Leave
Geraldo. That was his downfall. What a dupe. anyway, he's right where he should be in Fox News.
Oh, my God. Right now, winds in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is just north of Camp Lejeune at 59 miles an hour. Winds inside the hurricane, last I saw, were, I want to say, 85 miles an hour. So, gusts near the center, 100 miles an hour. And those are gusts. Okay, remember Gus. So I don't think the baseline winds subtract probably 20 miles an hour from that. So baseline winds about 80 with gusts up to 100. Kim and I, a second natural disaster was straight line winds of about, yeah, no, not that one. But remember the straight line winds that came through town and blew down everything?
Oh, yeah. That was over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was telling a story about driving to the studio, and yeah. I drove by Pierre Lammerer's house, and the thought, it didn't occur to me that the wind blew his fence away. The thought was, wow, I didn't know Pierre took his fence down as I'm driving by. And nah, that's no kidding. And I'm driving to the studio, and I mean, it's just crazy. And so then I see this telephone pole that used to be at a 90-degree angle. Now it's at about a 45-degree angle. And then when I get to the corner of Demers of 34th Street and South Washington by Ray Richards Golf Course, Kim knows where that is. I know nobody else does. That's okay. And there's a street sign that literally comes out of the ground maybe for an inch or two and then is bent at a 90-degree angle. And I looked at that, and I went, whoa. And luckily enough for everybody in the city, I don't know how many thousands of trees got blown over in a city that's been there since the mid-1800s, all right, when Grand Forks was founded. I want to say there was hundreds of trees that were knocked down, big trees in the city. Nobody was killed. Yeah. Nobody was killed that night, which in itself is a miracle. I mean, trees fell on cars, they fell on houses, they fell everywhere as the storm went through the city. And it was just amazing that you kept waiting for the police or the fire department to contact you and tell you that, hey, we've had fatalities in this area, please help. But you couldn't go anywhere for the most part because there were so many trees down. And the emergency crews had to get out there and cut trees down and drag them out of the way to open up streets for, first of all, for emergency vehicles, and then for the kind of city to resume. So, yeah, 100-mile-an-hour winds. But the cities took it pretty well, and that's 100-mile-an-hour winds. And it's not like the Carolinas haven't done this before. So, yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, they get something like this every year, the whole East Coast.
Yeah. No, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And then the other one Kim's talking about was a tornado that went through his wife's hometown of Northwood, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was, I'd never seen that before. It looked like, the way I would describe it to you would be a bad lawnmower being used to go through a part of the town. And it doesn't have a good blade on it, so the cuts aren't clean. All the cuts are jagged and ragged. And that's what you see. You see just this lawnmower kind of an event that cuts through a town. And yeah, wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable devastation. But you know what? Out of all those events, you know what I recall the most? Is
what?
Is the way people responded. And that's why I say the stuff that you see on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, that is a slicked up version of Jerry Springer. That is not the United States of America, because in every one of these instances, in Houston and what will happen in the Carolinas in the coming days and weeks, you see act of compassion after act of compassion, people taking other people in, people making food, people bringing clothes, people bringing shoes, people coming down with chainsaws. How can we help? And it makes you feel wonderful that people will do anything to help other people. And that is what I've seen time and time and time again. Did you go up to Rosa with me after that flood?
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, so there's a flood in a city called Roseau, Minnesota. They got 23 inches of rain in the course of like 7 hours when this rainstorm sat on top of the city and didn't move. And both rivers rose up that run in the vicinity and it flooded the city. And the people of where Kim and I lived we're like, hey, we need to help them because everybody helped us. So we had this thing, the radio station that I worked for had this bus called the Superliner, which was really cool. And so we took the Superliner. I took a bunch of football players, and we went up there, and we pulled stuff out of basements, heavy stuff, washing machines, dryers, things people needed out of basement. You had these young, you know, stud kids, and we worked from the time we got there. I think I did my radio show, and then later on I promoted this girl. Her name is Callie Ronkowski. She opened up a lemonade stand in where Kim and I lived in Grand Forks. She opened up a lemonade stand, and somebody called me and said, hey, you know Callie Ronkowski's got a lemonade stand? And she was like, I don't know, 10 years old maybe? So I started started talking about it on the radio, and then somebody went down there with a phone, and we talked to her. And then she did it the next day. I want to say she raised close to $3,000 herself. So we went back.
I think you're right.
Oh, I know I'm right.
You're pretty close.
I still have the picture. We went back up there.
Yeah.
And she presented the mayor the check. And you had this little girl who, and again, one of the things I always do, when kids come to my door and knock on it, and they say, hi, I'm with Costa Mesa High School Choir, and we're selling, hold on, let me get my checkbook, I'll buy anything. Because kids don't do that anymore. They don't get after it, and so I'm convinced of that you should reward those kids when they're out trying to either pay their own freight or whatnot. And because it impacts their life. And here's this little girl with her lemonade stand raising money, and she had a sign that said for Roseau flood victims. And so
yeah.
So I started talking about it. But it was awesome. It was awesome. And then we went back there, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place when she's talking to the mayor and telling the story, blah, blah, blah. It was awfully cool. Awfully cool. So I used to love to do that, find kids in the community doing good things and haul them on the radio and make them make them celebrities. That was fun. That was fun. What'd she say?
I know. Beth was making some wild rice that I brought back from Leech Lake.
Whoa. Wild rice. Is there an art to cooking wild rice? Because to me, when I look at it,
it looks
kind of like a Yule Gibbons dish.
Yes. The thing is about wild rice, I sent you some wild rice. Did you ever cook it?
Did I?
No. Yeah, I think
it's still in the package. I'm afraid of it.
Oh, Jesus. Well, read the instructions on how to cook it. But the first thing you have to do with that wild rice, and there's two types. There's and you want the long grain rice. If you buy wild rice, whether it's the dark parched rice or the light brown rice that you have, which is my fave, but you have to rinse it. Not once, not twice, not three times, but about four times. And you let it sit overnight in cold water, then you strain it, and then you strain it a few more times, three more times that day to get all the dirt out. And then we cook our rice in chicken stock.
Oh.
Yes. And so if you don't make your own chicken stock, you go buy some Swanson in the cartons, and it's low sodium. Get low sodium. Otherwise, you're talking about 500 milligrams of salt per cup.
I love salt.
And, yeah, I know, but you can add salt. Just buy low sodium. It's under 100. And, it's 3 cups of that to 1 cup of rice. You bring it to a boil. You turn it down to medium low to simmer. and you cook it for 30 minutes. And we're talking 1 cup of rice to 3 cups of water. And you cook that for 30 minutes, and then you shut it off, and you do not open the lid, take the lid off, for at least a half an hour. And any moisture, it'll get soaked up, and the rice will puff up. And then you have something that that's a lot of rice. You can freeze it. It freezes well. Beth will take some carrots, onions, and celery, saute those in olive oil, and mix that in with whatever amount of rice we're going to use that day for that dish, and or not. It's just fabulous, and it's so healthy. The only rice that's better for you than wild rice is brown rice. And brown rice, you have to have an acquired taste for that. Wild rice, it's got nutty flavor.
And, so you prefer wild rice to brown rice?
Oh, 100%, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have access to wild rice where I can buy it for, you know, $8-$9 a pound. Whereas this same wild rice, the long grain, you can find little short grain wild rice. Those are broken pieces. You want the ones that are about an inch long, whether it's the black ones or the light, the greenish brown ones. But that's stuff that hasn't been broken up. But yes, I buy about, I don't know, 6 pounds a year for us. And I prefer it to white rice. I can make stir fries with the wild rice. Most everybody uses white rice or noodles, but I can do a stir fry with chicken and things like that, hot peppers, jalapenos.
I like the cooking in chicken stock.
Yeah.
And I will say this, and I do love salt. One of the things that I wind up craving certain things as I watch my diet, but and what they normally center around is salt.
Well, salt, I just don't put salt in anything anymore, I'm allowed 1 teaspoon. That's T-E-A.
That's a joke.
Teaspoon.
That's a joke.
A day.
Come on.
That's 1,200 milligrams of salt a day. Shit. Popcorn gets more salt than that at the movies. It's getting used to not having salt like I normally grew up with has been a struggle for me.
Oh my God. Salt on everything.
Well, you know, come on.
Salt
is king, but it's also a killer with your high blood pressure.
Yeah.
That's the problem with salt. It crushes your blood pressure, especially if you're an XL or bigger like me.
Nice. Yeah, so that's normally what I find. But you know what? I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna use your. I will cook your wild rice, and I do have some chicken broth. So I will do that. It's not that, you know. It's like when you said that, I was like, whoa.
Now you have a whole bag of wild rice.
I do.
Only you can cook it. I would cook it all, and then portion it out in plastic containers and throw it in your freezer. Without anything else other than the cooked rice in it. And then when you can pull it out of the freezer, you can mix it in a casserole. And one of my favorite things is, and you know this dish, chicken wild rice soup. It's a Minnesota, North Dakota specialty. And it's got chicken and cream in it, and it's just, or half and half. It's cream. You got to use cream. sorry, folks. There's certain things I will not compromise on.
You can see why he gets into trouble, okay? Everybody, you just saw it in action right there. Why does Kim get in trouble? There you go. Come on, man.
I will compromise on certain flavors. I granted, I'll give up salt, and I don't eat drink a lot of cream either. But when I make that soup, that's what I use is cream. My wife would try and slide half and half in there, and then I would say, "God, this soup's a little watery, isn't it?"
Yeah, this stuff sucks.
Eat the soup.
This stuff sucks.
Yeah, and that's the soup that you saute onions and celery and carrots, and you cut them in little squares, like those frozen vegetables you get from Bird's Eye.
Yes.
Or you can use those, but I like them sauteed in oil and then thrown in with the wild rice and the cream and chopped up chicken, and you bring it to a boil, and then you turn it down and you just simmer it just a little bit to reduce the cream and thicken to the soup. And you don't want it too thick, because then it's too heavy. But yeah, that's a magnificent soup. But please try that wild rice. I sent it to you about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so I'm just getting to the point where I'm ready to use it.
I think you'd enjoy it, and they just got done the harvest.
I don't think I've ever eaten wild rice in my life.
Oh, Jesus. The key for you with the rice I sent you is rinse it.
Rinse it? That's it?
You let it soak.
I never rinse anything, though.
I'm just telling you. Unless you like dirt, you rinse it, you soak it for either overnight.
Wait a minute, dirt and pesticides. I grew up on it. Like, all of a sudden, now I'm going to start rinsing things?
Look, the wild rice you have, the Native Americans from Leech Lake, where Bob lives, they go around in canoes, they hit the wild rice coming out of the lake into the canoe, and it falls into the canoe. And then they take the wild rice back to shore, then they lay it out, and there's two methods. One method, which has resulted in the dark color, they lay it out on the ground for 7 to 10 days in the sun. And then they roast it in these tumblers that are gas heated. And the kind you have is laid out in the sun for a few days till all the moisture's out of it. And then it's put in the tumblers, and it's heated with, wood.
Wood?
They burn wood underneath it as the tumbler turns. And that kind of cooks the rice and gives it that nutty flavor. Either way, it's exceptional. Your way is going to be easy to cook, and pretty similar to cooking Uncle Ben's converted rice. The black rice that I got yesterday takes a little longer to cook because it's been roasted long, and it's a dark brown color. But what you have is going to put you in the front row, and if you like it, I will ship you some out there.
Okay.
It's a good rice to have, and it's very versatile, and you can make rice cakes with it. We can go on and on with what you can do with wild rice. But it's an alternative. And where you live, to get this kind of rice will probably cost you $20 a pound.
What?
Oh, yeah, okay. What?
Yeah, yeah. So I'd see that and say, yeah, not.
If you want some, I'll ship you a whole bunch out at $10.
Well, let me do my white man's simmer it in chicken broth and see what I think. Okay,
yeah.
It might take me a couple tries because I'm a plotter in the kitchen. I'm not gifted in the kitchen, so. Like a lot of people, I think I want to eat healthier, but I only things that taste good. I don't want to eat caca that's healthy. Like, come on, man. Come on.
That's what I feel about brown rice. Whereas wild rice has flavor, nutty flavor. And you think, geez, this is killer. Really
absolutely
good. I like it better than white rice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
White rice, so, raised on it. It's bleached. There's all the nutrients. All the nutrients are out of it. It's not even healthy for you. Okay. I like it. Sorry.
Hey, and make sure, what's my mantra I've been preaching to you with this wild rice?
Don't ask, don't tell?
Rinse it. Soak it, rinse it, rinse it, rinse it, rinse it, rinse it, soak it, rinse it, soak it, rinse it, soak it. 4 times. And you'll see when the water isn't brown, when you pour it into the strainer, then you know you're ready to cook it. So start a day out.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? You know,
yes, sir.
I see these reporters doing these shots, okay? And when they start the shot, the guy's face is already wet. Okay, so if we're standing there and you're getting ready to go and, you know, there's a couple of people that are helping, you know, with cords and lighting and you're standing there getting ready to go on, it's like, hey, so you're going to be sheltered before you have to walk out there. Okay, go stand out there. Let me make sure I'm focused on it. Okay, that's your mark. Got the camera ready. Everything great. Lighting's good. Come back. Stay protected. You're on the phone talking. Da, 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 da. Hey, let me wipe my face off. No, 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 no. Don't wipe my face off. I need water on my face when I do the shot.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
Hey, come on, man.
That's it. That's how they do it because you look at these people and their faces are soaking wet. Well, do you mean to tell me when we're not on the air, you're standing out there in the water? No, they're not. Okay, so, but I wonder if they have a spray bottle. Probably not.
Jeez.
Probably not. That's it. Let me just tell you. That's why this slicked up nonsense that we do when we go crazy with weather. Come on,
yeah.
Man. Come on. I'm just saying.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. Look, I wasn't born this morning, okay? Yeah, I might not be the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but I'm not the dimmest either. Here's another question. The chef just said there's certain things that he won't compromise relative to taste and health. Could he give us a list of the things that he doesn't compromise on? Let's talk sour cream. Let's talk butter, margarine. How do you come down on all that? Give me a list of things you, even in the name of health, you won't give up.
Okay. Butter. I absolutely use sweet, creamy butter. End of discussion.
Period.
I don't use butter with salt in it. I think that's BS.
Really?
I think if you buy sweet creamy butter, then you add the salt to taste. You don't trust salt in the butter. I'm not a fan of margarine, though at times in my youth, that's what my mother used. But,
yeah.
I went to Europe.
Corporal Punishment, Kathleen, she was a big Imperial margarine. I still remember the commercials. And then all of a sudden somebody would have a crown on their head. Imperial margin, made for a king. There you have it.
That's our mothers. But sour cream, you use real sour cream. You don't use any of this low-fat sour cream. Low-fat my ass. You go with sour cream. The only compromise I make is I'll drink 2% milk. I will not drink skim milk. I might as well drink water.
It is water. You are drinking water. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. Hello. White colored water. And I like cream.
Yes.
As opposed, and there are times when half and half will work. But when I make my creme caramel, yes, which you love, if it's not heavy whipping cream, don't bother.
Yeah.
When I make ice cream, I have an Italian commercial ice cream making machine. I use whole cream to make my ice cream, or whole milk, depending on what the recipe called for. But none of this skim stuff. And I just, that's just the way it is. And I don't like light beers.
Tell everybody, what kind of beer do you enjoy?
I like Stella. I like Heineken.
Yeah, that's what I know you drink. That's what I've seen Kim drink the most is Heineken.
And it pretty much Heineken. Well, I got hooked on Heineken when I went through the Heineken brewery in Amsterdam, because you're drinking the whole time you're in there, and you go in just cold sober and you come out just crushed. You have to sit down before you can move anywhere, because it's all the beer you can drink, and they give you a little nosh here and there, a little something to eat, chomp on. So
no, Heineken's good beer. I'm a Coors guy, right?
Yeah. And my wife's Coors Light.
Yeah, I drink. So that's what I would drink. And people, you know, now you got all the beer Nazis, right? Oh, I'll have like chestnut, apple in it. Like, what do you have? You have Coors Light, and all the heads snap. What? Why did you just drink dog piss? Because I like Coors Light. Okay. Do I make fun of you? You like wannabe, you guys are jazz listeners, aren't you? Right? Jazz sucks, and you're sitting there drinking that foo-foo beer bobbing your head to something that has no rhythm. You can't dance to it. So, like, why listen to it? But you're phonies. Did I say that? No, I kept that to myself. But now that you want to insult my choice of beers, yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, jackass. Yeah, jazz. Oh, it's so good. No, it's not. It sucks. Okay, jazz sucks. Anyway, Kim likes jazz though. Yeah, he's a beatnik, man. Oh yeah, baby. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Mhm. Sucks. Straight up sucks. Okay. What are your plans for the weekend? Any?
Wait a minute.
I don't care what you're going to do about the weekend. I need your lead pipe lock. Give us a bet that you're going to make this week. Okay. Give us a bet you're going to make this week and guarantee it. So what is it?
Okay. My lead pipe lock
is
Minnesota by 3 over Green Bay.
Oh, well, come on. That's not even...
If Aaron Rodgers plays, it's a football game. If you saw what he did last week.
I didn't.
On one leg.
I didn't.
Well, they were down 20-0 and they won it.
I don't know that you can give me an NFL lead pipe lock because I don't watch the NFL. I can't. I'm against the NFL. I'm anti-NFL.
I know you are.
So I think you got to give me a college lead pipe lock. But I don't think Are you prepared?
A college lead pipe lock.
You got a college lead pipe?
I would have to say, Jesus, I got to start up on this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I just pulled this out of nowhere, so I don't expect you to.
No, that's okay. I haven't watched any football yet. I would say Notre Dame over whoever the hell they're playing.
Notre Dame over Alcorn State. That's my lead pipe.
That is a lead pipe lock. You couldn't get a bet on it.
Exactly.
you'd have to bet $50 to make $20.
Okay, let's see. Notre Dame plays Vanderbilt. They're both 2-0. That can't be a lead pipe lock. Let's see. NCAA college football. I'll pick a game and you pick it. Full scoreboard. I'll find a top 25 game in week 3 of college football. Georgia Southern at Clemson, no. Georgia, Middle Tennessee, Oklahoma, Iowa State, no. Miami, Toledo, UC Davis at Stanford, no. Wisconsin and BYU, maybe. Oh, no. LSU, number 12, 2-0, against number 7, Auburn.
Ooh, I will take, LSU, Jesus. I think Auburn is going to win by field goal.
So, Auburn.
Auburn, I'm going to write that down.
Auburn.
+3.
Over LSU. Plus, are you giving a half a point or are you taking a half a point? 3.5?
3.5.
All right. There you have it. There's your lead pipe lock, folks.
Over LSU.
From your cooking swami turned sports prognosticator here. Yeah, let me tell you.
I'm going to be all over that for you next week.
It's frustrating because I like the NFL. I like watching football on Sunday, but I'm not going to watch it until they get their act together. And I cannot believe that another year is going to go by when this shit is going to embroil the marketing machine that is the NFL. There is a way for you to show respect for the national anthem, and there is a way for you to communicate to the nation that your players are concerned about social issues that concern them. You have so much power. You have so much media power. You have your own station. Why don't you do something? Why don't you solve this so Sunday can be about us being entertained by football? And I don't get it. I think Roger Goodell is an idiot. I don't know why they gave him a $50 million a year contract. I think it's an absolute joke.
I cannot agree with you more, Mac.
He is the village idiot. And to the players, nobody. Kim's waiters did not get to walk up and say, hey, before I take your order, can I tell you what a jackass I think George Bush is? Like, no. You're fired. You can't do that, all right? And I don't know anybody who's allowed to walk on and say, in their jobs, other than people like me, right, and say, here's what I think politically while you're paying me. But I got it. You guys are big-time guys. The same rules don't apply. How about we do this? Okay. It frustrates me. So I don't get to watch the NFL, and it pisses me off.
And you know, Mac, we've had this discussion. I used to love the NFL. I used to go to Kezar Stadium every Sunday and sit in the end zone for $3.50 and watch great football game. And then my uncle was covering college and pro football and baseball for Associated Press. So I used to get to sit in the press box with them once in a while. you know, those were fun.
We grew up on it. No, you grew up on it. You grew up on it, and then now I've got to now I have to have this jammed down my throat every week. I don't like it. Anyway. All right, man.
Email Bob Nils.
Okay,
I'm out. So you have a good weekend. Thank you for the wild rice recipe.
You too. Have a great one. Right. Have a good weekend.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
More of All Marine Radio. The Gunner, stand by to join us on Skype. That's right. Coming up next on your home for this. That's right. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.